Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, welcome to Brain Injury Radio Network. Tonight is our regular Wednesday installment of our program Recovery Now with your host, Kim Justice. If you'd like to know more about my story, you can find it at inaflash.org. I, too, am a fellow traumatic brain injury survivor. I appreciate you tuning in tonight, and as always, I look forward to your input. So now, we'll get on with the show. Well, hello, and happy hump night from somewhere in Middle America, where it has been a very sadly eventful couple of weeks, which I'm going to talk about in a little while. This year, Christmas is not so merry and bright for my family. In fact, this is perhaps the saddest Christmas that I remember. I hear holidays sometimes work out that way. Life, death, illness, sometimes brain injury. I was gone last week, and I'll tell you why. I just didn't show up, couldn't do it. I was in too much shock then, and now I just feel kind of numb and heartbroken, and I might not be able to go on a long time tonight, but one thing I miss about the holiday, all hell broke loose just after a nice Thanksgiving, and Christmas is almost upon us, and it's not going to be like any other one I'll ever experience, nor has this season. And I've really missed listening to Christmas music. And so I decided to come here tonight, play some holiday music, make it an open mic if you want to call in. And I am forever grateful. It's been, 12 and a half years that I've been a host every Wednesday night here. And I am so grateful for my kind and loyal and loving listeners. And it's been my honor. And I'll continue. I'm not going anywhere. I might take a couple weeks off. You'll understand that more later. But I wanted to come tonight to wish you guys happy holidays and a very Merry Christmas and Happy New Year, safe New Year. I hope you've been enjoying the holidays, and I just wanted to pass my warmest wishes on to you. For those of you who are new around here, and then I'm going to bring on a favorite caller, Recovery Now is a gathering place for anyone seeking recovery from the challenges of life on life's terms. Guests share their experience, strength, and hope. We discuss useful tools that have helped us lighten the load of our journey through recovery. More will be revealed. This is a we recovery program because it is in the we that we find the new me. We focus on the four A's of recovery: awareness, acceptance, action, and adaptation. This is a place for survivors striving to become thrivers. And for that, it takes a good bit of warrior. Again, I'm your host, Kim Justice. And if you want to know more about me, you can check out my website, inaflash.org. And with that, I think what I'm going to do is take, like I said, if not my favorite, one of my favorite callers. Always have appreciated his loyalty, but mostly I talk about Michael a lot because of his experience, strength, and hope. What happened to him, what he's gone through, and his never quit, keep going attitude. And I've used him so many examples, both on air and in person, as someone who has accomplished so many things that when you set your mind to do it and you put in the elbow grease, that he is a great example of hope and keeping your hope alive no matter what. And so I guess it's fitting that he's here tonight, and I'm going to open up with Michael, and I'm going to wish him a very Merry Christmas. How you doing, Michael?
Hello, Kim. It's Michael. I've been with you just about 12 and a half years, since 2013. Yeah, I've been here. And God bless it. It's been great to have my brothers and sisters and know there's, because I never even knew. I never found out what I had until I was 36 years old. My accident was when I was 10. But, of course, my accident was in 1970. So, but anyway, I'm just calling to wish you and all these great people a Merry Christmas and Happy New Year and Happy Hanukkah. Always Happy Hanukkah to those people and to all my brothers and sisters.
Well, thank you. I'm so glad that you called in to tell everybody, because I just didn't happen to make it last night or last week, I guess. And the week before we had some bad weather, and hopefully we won't. I just want to tell you so that you can tell me about the weather there, but we've got a severe winter storm warning is what it's called. And it's not that we're going to have a foot of snow. It's not that. But it's the combination of things that the weatherman last night said makes this the worst, because it'll go on one. Today is Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, till noon on Saturday. And that's going to be a mix of rain and raining ice that will put a glaze of ice over everything. And then wind gusts up to 45 consistently over the next 4 days, 45 to 50 miles per hour. The wind chill minus 40. And in these kind of dangerously cold wind chills, you know, you bring older people out, not good. They can't breathe that kind of air without their lungs crystallizing, or if they've got heart condition or a lot of other things. And it's more dangerous to walk almost than it is to drive, because you think it just looks like the snow is going to be like around four or five inches, and it, you know, you look out there and just think it's snow, but there'll be a quarter of an inch, half an inch of solid ice underneath that. And so for the people around here, I would just say be really careful walking and driving, and they're really recommending that people stay in the house. And it says from noon today, which it started snowing at noon, until noon on Saturday. And because of that wind, even though that amount of snow isn't like a foot or 2 foot or something like that, because of that 45, 50 mile an hour wind, whatever snow we get is going to blow, making like no visibility. So people driving, particularly out on the highway where it's darker, you know, when that wind starts blowing, it'll be a whiteout and people won't be able to see. So I reckon with so many people traveling for the holidays to get together with family and all that, this is a pretty dangerous place to be for the next few days, because of the wind, because of the cold, because of the ice, because of the whiteout, because of the snow and the wind chills. So he said last night on the news that what that gives us is the worst weather pattern all happening at once for the greatest length of time. You know, usually that this might be a day or two kind of a thing, but four right up to noon on Christmas Eve is pretty long, nasty weather, and it's keeping us away from somewhere we'd like to be right now, and I'll talk about that later. But go ahead and now tell me what the weather's like in sunny Florida where you've done so many great things.
Well, I'm here, Kim. I'm from St. Petersburg, Florida. And let me tell you, the weatherman says Saturday night it's going to get so cold here, 32. We're supposed to get to 32, 33. In 30 years, we've never seen weather like this. That storm that you're getting now is supposed to come down here Saturday night, and it's supposed to make it all the way to here in Florida, where I'm in Central Florida.
Oh my God!
Yeah, 32 to 33 degrees.
Well, and what's really,
I really wish it would have snowed. That would have been, they would have talked about this for 50 years. They would have been quiet, you know? 50 years they would have talked about this if it snowed, because it's going to be cold enough, too.
I was going to say, you never know.
And I'm
going
to have to go to church on that night.
Oh, wow. Well, you just never know, because as you said, it's going to be cold enough to do it, and it hasn't been that cold in 30 years, so you might be surprised. You might wind up getting a couple flakes, and they just don't know it yet. But that's crazy. I feel sorry for the people in your neck of the woods, because you don't have any reason to have a winter coat or winter boots or a, you know, stocking cap and muffler scarf and that kind of, you know, mittens and gloves and stuff. You guys don't really need to think about those or have them. I doubt that you've got them in a whole lot of stores down there. The sales wouldn't be very good most of the time. Good
or
Lord. Well, that's crazy.
I
just wanted to know what it was right now, because I want to know what it's going to drop. That's what it's going to drop
no,
to.
Now it's about 50, 55.
Oh, okay.
Right now.
No, that's cool. I was just wondering what it was dropping from to, since we're just on Wednesday and Saturday is your big day, and that sounds right, because it's going to be here till Saturday, so it'll start moving out and move over to your place. But I was just wondering, so 55, that's still a little chilly for your place, but not bad compared to what it's going to be. Well, since you came from New York, did you happen to take a coat or a scarf with you?
Believe it or not, me, I have like four coats in my closet ready to go.
Good. Well, I was going to say, being a New Yorker, even though you went to Florida for the reason I should, and it's not just the governor, anymore, not just the weather. I like your governor, but you'd be prepared, you know, since you're not a native Floridian, you came from New York, you came prepared. That's so good that you brought coats with you. It looks like you'll need
Saturday,
it probably for the first time.
You want to know something, Kim? This Saturday made 25 years that I'm on this coast. And then I was in Kissimmee for 15 years. So I've been down here like 40 years of my life. That's a rather long time.
Yeah, when I say native New Yorker, that means that you've been in Florida longer than New York.
Yeah, yeah, yep. And I'll tell all the fans of the show the whole story next week. I just wanted to say Merry Christmas to you all. I love you. Thank you. Bye, Kim.
Love you back, and Merry Christmas to you, Michael. Have a good one.
All right. Merry Christmas.
Very merry. You too. Okay, everybody, that was Michael Ciafone. Make sure to check out his books. He's written several books called, I don't have them all in front of me, but Silent Cries was his first one. And it's where he tells his story about his brain injury. But Michael's done some really incredible things aside from being a author times four. He was making houses accessible originally with ramps and then got turned on to the Moby mat and is now making the Pinellas County area beaches accessible to people with disabilities by putting these mats down. And he actually went and pitched his idea after he got one up to, I think it was the city council, something like that. Maybe it was a nonprofit. Sorry, I'm a little scattered tonight. But anyway, he got the grant, the go-ahead for it to be paid for, and there's probably going to be 10 of these around Pinellas County. So if you're looking for a warm place to get away or a place to go vacation where the beach would be accessible to you, if you have a disability that prevents that, then Michael's is the place to go, the Tampa St. Pete area down in Florida. And so anyway, that took a lot. Took a lot to come up with the idea, to do the first one, to see the response, and then to have the nerve, the guts, to go ask for funding and to pitch his idea. And I encourage all of you, if you have an idea like that, you know, and from my background in sales, what I can tell you is, a lot of people wash out of sales because they take a no personally. And it's really a matter of numbers. The more times you ask, statistically, you're closer to a yes. So if you get a few no's, you don't take it personally and wash out of the business and think that you're not a good salesperson. You hang up the phone like nothing happened, like it was a wrong number, and you dial the next number, and then you dial the next number, and then you dial the next number, and you keep dialing, and eventually you're going to get a yes. And Michael didn't get a lot of rejection. His idea was so good, but he did have the guts to go ask. And had he not asked, these Moby mats wouldn't be going up all around the county, enabling people with disability to enjoy getting close enough to feel the ocean spray, to feel that ocean water, no longer have to be up on the boardwalk just looking at the beauty, but actually get to experience it in a new way. And for that, a lot of gratitude and a great example of asking. You might get a no, but, you know, you might just get a yes to something that's a game changer, if not for you, if for a lot of other people. And those kind of things make a difference. So if you're out there tonight and you've just had a big shift in your life, I encourage you to not quit, not get stuck on the bench because your life can't be how it was before. We all go through a grieving process when we suffer loss, but you have a choice. You can keep going, or you can lay down, game over. But make no mistake, you have a choice. With that, I just wanted to talk a little bit tonight. I'm going to be playing some music, and then I'll tell you some parts of the story in between. This has really been a rough, well, it's been a rough year, actually. More than that, really. But a rough year and a particularly rough 2 weeks and couple weeks ahead, I'm sure. And I'm one that always talks to you about staying a day at a time, and that's what I try my best to do. That's what I pray to do. That's what I'm doing. But last week, something was going on, and for the first time in 12 and a half years, I didn't come to do my show. And usually I put a tape in if I'm not going to be here. One of the things I try to teach the hosts that they're supposed to be doing if they can't make it is covering their spot. You know, you either make it and do your show, or you put in a tape so that there's something 7 nights a week for our great listeners, as well as our thousands of on-demand episodes. Like to always have something on in this time slot, 7 nights a week. But last week, for the first time ever, I was frozen like a deer in the headlights, and I just couldn't come. I mean, I meant to put in a tape, I really did, but my mind, my brain wasn't working quite right last week. Let me just say, and I'll back up further later, that last week my dad was in the hospital, and I don't talk in deference to my folks. I don't talk on my radio show or post about things that have to do with our family in deference to their privacy. But I have feelings too, and my feelings matter. And tonight, I guess I'm here to say, you know, my dad has had Parkinson's for 18 years, and proud, stubborn, but was also very athletic his entire life. So he's never been in a wheelchair. He's used a walker and done a really good job. And like with all of us, there's good days, bad days, good weeks, bad weeks. A couple of times he's had to go to the hospital, and what it amounted to was hydration, and then a couple weeks of rehab, and he's rebounded. And of course, for years now, I've lived with the fear, because he's a fall risk, has been a fall risk, and he has fallen a lot. But my fear has been to get a phone call in the middle of the night about the big fall, the fall where you break your hip or you hit your head and get a brain bleed, which is what I had that brought me to being a host on Brain Injury Radio. I had a ruptured brain aneurysm and open brain surgery, and I know how fun that is not. And I didn't wish that on my father from a fall. I broke my femur the summer between high school and college. I was young and healthy, and that was no Sunday picnic either. So I imagine breaking your hip also isn't. And so I've lived in this cautious fear a day at a time, but thought about it every night before I went to bed. About that possible fall, and got calls about falls, but not the big one. But last week, I'll start with Thanksgiving. Actually, let's go back a couple weeks. Well, let's go back a little more than that. Thanksgiving was really good, and I was grateful because my parents both had birthdays in August. And I knew things had been rough. My mom's developed heart issues. A lot of times the caregiver has as much to contend with as the person going through the survivor or the person with the disease. And 18 years is a long time. She has heart issues now, has a pacemaker, and had congestive heart failure. And so this year has been weird. In March, my husband and I lost our dog, Benny. And I know a lot of you guys remember that. Benny was a Frenchie, French bulldog, and I adored him. And he wound up getting, we've had dogs, I've loved them all. They've passed, but they all had, we knew what was wrong with them, their illness when it came up. In this case, I learned something new. This year is a year of a lot of new, sad realities. In his case, I didn't know that dogs could get dementia. And Benny got doggy dementia. And I realized that since last October, when it started with some subtle things like standing in the middle of the room barking at nothing, which Benny was not a barker, but especially to be sleeping, get up, walk in the middle of the room and start barking. And the second thing a little while later, a couple months later, is we kind of laughed. I feel bad about it, but we didn't know what was going on. He would go and stand in the corner, facing the corner. And I'd ask him if he was giving himself a timeout. And what was he giving himself a timeout for? Because he was the best, most vulnerable, sweet disposition dog ever. One that would never need a timeout. Unlike this puppy, Eddie, we have. And I'm not going to go into a lot more details about that, but the decline Benny went through and watching it and not knowing what was going on and then knowing what was going on and seeing how it evolved was so painful. And then letting go was painful. But one thing I have never wanted is to see any of these pets suffer. Because for however long they've been on Earth, they've brought me so much love and so much joy, so much pleasure, so much companionship, that I have not wanted to see them suffer. Me, I deal with later, however I have to, in my grief, but I don't keep them suffering because I can't let go. So I had been feeling sad about that, but was looking forward. A lot of you regular listeners know that for the last 5 years in our backyard, we have a tree with a hollow, and in fact, I wrote a book about it, Hootie's Hollow and the Magic Tree. 6 years ago, I had had a dachshund named Mario. Mario lived to be 16, and when he was in his last year and very slow, he'd walk out under that big oak tree and sit under it in the shade and put his nose up and feel the fresh air, and it was fall time. And I looked up one day. Mario died. And a couple months later, actually about a month and a half later, because I was so used to looking over at the base of the tree to check on Mario, to see Mario, very used to looking at that tree. And in my peripheral vision, you know, the habit was still there even after he wasn't. But I looked up and I saw this little owl in the hollow looking at me with these big eyes. And I was just in awe and wonder at this owl. And as any of you regulars know, I take a lot of pictures. And I went and got my camera. I figured if the owl would fly off. But it was so teeny and so cute. Maybe about, what, 7 inches tall or something? Little guy. And I did find out, I'm positive he was a guy, and look up, my website has both my books on it, inaflash.org. They're on Amazon, but there's a link to each of my books on my website that will take you to the paperback or to the ebook or to the audiobook. And if you want to hear the rest of the story about Hootie, you can, but there's a reason I'm talking about it. Anyway, Hootie stayed 6 years ago. He stayed from winter, that whole fall, winter deal, up to March. And then he took off. And I found out that that's, you know, like most of the animals, when they mate, when Hootie, who, they only have one partner, they're monogamous, but Hootie must have taken off in the spring and found his missus and raised a family and had the summer getting the owlets raised. And then I'll be darned, year two, one day I'm looking up and Hootie was back the second fall. He had come back to the hollow, and I knew it was Hootie. The copy, if you even look at the cover of my book, you'll see there's a little white, they're gray, Hootie's gray, and there's a little white patch, couple few feathers on his breast. And anyway, I had spent every day the first year taking pictures of Hootie and had a zillion, billion pictures of Hootie, so I knew him the minute I saw him, that it was him and not just some other owl who decided to take up. And so that has happened 5 years straight. And so I've never liked winter, especially as I've gotten older, gotten more arthritic, gotten less tolerant of it, because I'm not out doing fun things in the snow, and I don't like driving in it, and I don't like the cold anymore, and it's kind of really wearing out its welcome. Someday I might follow Michael, and he can co-host with me down in Florida, but anyway, 5 years in a row, Hootie came. And so when I start getting seasonal affective disorder, and then on January 9th in 1995, when it was like this brittle, cold, snowy, icy, gray, no green, no life out there. Evergreens that look kind of pretty with snow on them sometimes, but it was winter when my brain blew up and my life changed in 1995. And so there's a lot of things between the seasonal affective disorder and the what happened in January. That year we got to have Christmas, had a really great Christmas. And then on January 9th, boom, game changer, life game changer. So in not liking winter, when Hootie started coming, you know, after the third year, the fourth year, last year, you know, I was watching for him because he would come at the end of September, middle to end of September to beginning of October in that area. So I'd start watching year two, three, four, five. And each of those years he came back, and it gave me something to look forward to for winter. Going out and taking pictures of Hootie, and we would dance. I'd move back and forth, sway back and forth, and Hootie would sway back and forth. And I would blink at him, blink, 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 and he'd do that to me, blink, blink. We had all kinds of ways of communicating. And I talk about in my book something that I read. Hootie didn't come this year. And there were a few things I took from that. I know a lot of you might be thinking, well, Hootie could have died. He could have gotten, he was a little screech owl. All the other owls are bigger. Any predator could have eaten him. Anything could have happened for Hootie to not come back this year. But one of the things I wrote about in my book, which I wrote a couple of years ago about Hootie, was that in Native American, some Native American tradition, they believe that the owl can pass through the veil between the living and the dead, and that they're messengers. And the circumstances which Hootie showed up the first year, month and a half after Mario, who I had had 16 years, he predated my husband at the time, and had been an only dog, me and Mario, for a little while. And then I got Annie the shepherd mix. But anyway, that goes way, way back. Obviously, a lot of attachment in 16 years. And Hootie showed up a month and a half later, and I believed, and I knew, it's my belief system, that Mario was released from the disease that encumbered him and that he was a happy, healthy dog up in heaven with loved ones and the dogs that went before him. And I was glad he didn't have to suffer, but I really missed him. And Hootie was like reinforcement to show up in the hollow in the exact tree where Mario hung out just a month and a half later to tell me that he was okay. And to be a distraction that first year out there taking pictures and forging this new relationship. I've probably seen an owl somewhere here or there, but never living in my backyard. That every morning when I got up to have my coffee, I would open the door going from our garage to the backyard, and there would be Hootie, and every morning I'd have my coffee with Hootie. So I would wake up to that little owl every morning and then spend way too much time and too many days taking pictures and enjoying life with Hootie. And so I believe he was a messenger. And when Benny died this year in March, I was really looking forward to Hootie coming again. And he didn't. And there could be a lot of reasons why he didn't. But in view of what's happening right now, it might have been a forbearance of another loss. And that empty hollow represents the hole in my heart. So in August, I felt really grateful, holding my breath all along for both of my folks. And I don't have siblings or kids. And Mom's heart deal was 2 years ago, so, and Dad was advancing in his Parkinson's, and so I was really grateful while holding my breath this year that we got through both of their birthdays, had great birthday parties here in this, we just went into the third year of COVID. And that turned everybody's life upside down. And a year ago, they had to move out of their beloved house they had been in since 1977, their home, downsized most of their belongings they had accumulated. But we got through their birthdays, and my parents met each other when they were 15 in high school and were boyfriend and girlfriend all through high school. King and queen of the prom, and then they got married. And then I came. And I found out a story that I didn't know. And it's weird that I didn't know the story, because I knew there was a song, La Vie en Rose, who a lot of people have done. Lady Gaga does a great version at Tony Bennett's 90th anniversary, if you look it up on YouTube. I'm going to play a different version, but for my mom's sweet 16 birthday, and I didn't know this. I did know that that was a Thayer song thing. Knew that. Never thought to ask why, because they grew up in the Motown era, and those were the 45 records that were in our basement, Little Richard, Fats Domino, the Platters, the Shirelles, all of those artists. And I learned to dance and jitterbug. In fact, my dad, when I was having slumber parties as a young girl, there wasn't any young girl in the neighborhood that didn't know how to do the jitterbug in a stroll line. Dad, very outgoing, type A, athletic, fun man. And so I asked my mom the other day where that, liking that highly unlikely song. And one more thing, La Vie en Rose, I had taken a really cool photo of a white rose and put two lines of the chorus of La Vie en Rose with that on it, overlaid that, texted it onto the photo, made it a wrap canvas, and gave it to them on, I believe, their 60th anniversary. That was one of the things that made the cut when they moved to an independent living facility apartment, and he was getting assistance, caregiving, private assistance. And so I asked my mom about that the other day. She said for her sweet 16, he gave her a compact. For those of you that are too young to know what that is, what you buy powder in that you flip up and it has a mirror, that's a compact. But in the old days, they made them out of metal. There were some really cool-looking little compacts. Of course, they were only 16, so, you know, wasn't expensive compact, but it was his gift to her, and it had the musical notes inside the lid when you opened it, or on top, excuse me, of the lid, to the song La Vie en Rose. And that was a treasured gift from my dad. And many, many years she had that, carried it, treasured it, and at some point, you know, the gold started wearing off and the stones were going to start falling out. And my mom carefully kept those stones that made the musical notes of that song. And she had them for years. And then maybe around their 50th anniversary, so a long time from being age 16, right? She put them, found a really cool lacquered box with the satin inside, and she got it tuned, musical, so it would play it. But she had those same rhinestones that she called diamonds. I think all of us girls do that. Our first rhinestones are diamonds. Those ones she had gotten from him when she was 16, she put on that box for him as a gift. And when you opened it, it played the song. So sometime, probably in the next week or less, you will be seeing a video, and I use the song. But I'm going to play you the song tonight, and then I'll tell you something. And then I'm going to play some holiday music, and I'll tell you why. I really haven't heard any. We've been so busy, shocked, exhausted, trying to move through this difficult thing, that the season has been like a blur since the week after Thanksgiving. And I thought, you know, I'm probably going to need to take the next 2 weeks off. I will try to get a tape up. In fact, I should probably do that tomorrow while we're having a blizzard. Put a best of up for the next 2 weeks, and then I'll be back. I'm not going anywhere. I'm just going to need a couple weeks, and you'll hear why. But I'm going to play you this song, LaVie and Rose, and say that I was very grateful that we got through their birthdays, both in August. We got through their 64th anniversary in September. And then I was holding my breath for knowing it was, even though I take things a day at a time, there is reality. I knew it was going to be a last of each of those things for at least one. And was so grateful we got through those. And then we had Thanksgiving. And it was great. It was the first time I posted a picture of my folks for a while. I've been letting everything be private, not talking about it. But I did post a picture after Thanksgiving because we had a great Thanksgiving. And then 2 days later, I need to have cataract surgery sometime. And their first opening was a couple days after Thanksgiving, but I canceled it because I'm going to have to wear, I don't wear glasses, and I'll have to wear them for a couple months. I got some things wrong, and when they fix these cataracts, that's just the way it's going to be. I'll have to wear these glasses so bright light doesn't get in my eyes for a couple months. And I said, no, I can't do it now. Let's make it like their next opening was January 3rd. So January 3rd, I was having cataract surgery. My vision is so bad. Floaters from my brain injury and now cataracts. But anyway, today I had to call and cancel that. But my reason for canceling that surgery, that week, that Monday after Thanksgiving, was that I wanted to have the holidays season to make some really good pictures, some really good memories. And that didn't wind up happening. I'm glad I got that picture on Thanksgiving, that couple pictures. But the next week, and my dad was doing great that day, walking great. Everything was as good as can be expected in that situation, right? And then the next week, things changed. I'll come back and tell you about that, but I'm going to play this song while we're on LaVie and Rose, because the rest of what you'll hear tonight after I finish with what I have to say will be holiday music and me wishing you guys happy holidays and Merry Christmas and a happy, safe New Year when I get to it. And you can feel free to call in if you're listening and you want. It's, what's our number? 424-243-9540. 424-243-9540. But here's the song. You'll hear me, you'll see me posting with a video I made to it. sometime in the next couple of weeks, but this is the song that those little musical notes were attached to. I'll be right back. Latvian Rose. It's an old song, but it's their song, my folk song. So the week after Thanksgiving, you know, Thanksgiving, I thought this has been great. I've held my breath through the birthdays, the anniversary, Thanksgiving. We're going to get one last Christmas. That's not going to happen. The next week, he started not being as sure-footed, sleeping a whole lot more, just not doing well at all. And then it was a bad week. The following week, suddenly there was wheezing, bad wheezing in his chest, and he completely lost the strength in his legs. Completely. My mom called the neurologist on Thursday last, the one before, and the neurologist, gotta love our healthcare system these days. Thank you, Mr. Obama. Our healthcare system sucks. A lot of the doctors and nurses work super hard, and that COVID has been a real wear out. So I'm not putting this on them. I'm saying the system that was touted was a lie, a complete and total lie, right in your face, right in your face. And I hope if you got Medicare insurance this year, you didn't get any of the Advantage plans that have some pretty good celebrity endorsements, celebrities you've thought a lot of over the years screwing you, selling you government-sponsored health insurance that if you've ever had VA insurance or Medicaid or Medicare, you already know that your insurance is rationed. And they said it wouldn't be. But it is. Absolutely is. And now everybody gets the pleasure of that. And did it bring the prices down? Not at all. The cost down? Not at all. The quality of your care down? Absolutely. Whether it's the hospital, whether it's assisted or independent living, skilled care, hospice. Everybody's short-staffed. And for what you pay, if you can, the impersonal nature, the rationing of the services, and the NADs for what they charge for it, when you're down, is unconscionable. Unconscionable. Anyway, called the neurologist that day, my mom did, and said what was going on. And this is a man who never was in a wheelchair, couldn't use his walker. No, nothing. In his legs and the muscles. And he said, well, my mom had asked if he could send him to rehab. A couple times dad went to rehab, went to the hospital a time or two in that 18 years, got hydrated really well, went to rehab a couple weeks and rallied. And of course, that was our hope again this time. And the neurologist said, gee, I've never transferred someone from, you know, independent living to rehab. You know, the internist really needs to make that decision. We'll get back to you either later tonight or in the morning. My mom said, the internist doesn't return calls. And he doesn't. Our regular internist, who is great, retired. There's a new guy, and we're getting old enough. This guy looks like he's about 12. But the other thing that went with the age difference was the bedside manner. You'd think he was a surgeon, for Christ's sake. He's just an internist. And a saucy little one at that. But there's no... I don't know if they skipped compassion and just look at us as exposure units now or exactly how that works. But the old Marcus Welby doctors are retiring and dying, and what's coming up behind them that I've seen in my experience. I certainly won't speak for them all, but I'll speak for mine. It's scary. Makes you really scary to be in their hands, and especially if you don't have an advocate. So when my mom said that the internist never calls back, he said, I can text him and get a hold of him, and we'll get back to you later today or in the morning. They're in crisis, right? So they waited till morning, and I know, yeah, maybe they could have thought of this on their own, but this is what you call and pay a professional a lot for, care service, when you're losing it. They told her to get him to the hospital the next day and they'd have a look. They wanted to, before they sent him to rehab, take a good look at him. And turned out he had pneumonia and was in the hospital for a week, being hydrated and the pneumonia being treated. And my mom was up there every day. I came up there, I got a call from him one night, and he told me he didn't want me to be shocked or taken off guard, but it looked like he wasn't going to be coming home from the hospital this time. And he basically told me the conversation that he and the doctor had, and bottom line is my dad has been in hospice for 5 days and I'll probably be there another 3 to 5 days and then he's going to die. So my faith is really strong. One part I'll be glad about is that Parkinson's is a insidious disease for anyone, but for anyone big fat period. For my dad, who was a Marine, served his country, a super type A personality and athlete from the time he was a kid to into his 60s when he got diagnosed with Parkinson's, watching the deterioration, the frustration, the broken heart, the anger, the sadness, everything he's had to go through in his way and what we've had to go through and the way he is right now. I will miss him, and I love him, and I appreciate everything. The opportunity and the great life lived, but I will be glad when he can ascend to the healthy souls and leave this fucking disease behind. And I pray for my mother because she's never lived without my dad before. She's going to need to learn. And I hope she doesn't follow, but they've been together forever. In any case, the month of December has been taken up with hospital and hospice. So there really hasn't been any notice of holidays, this, except that, you know, some of you that know me know I'm pretty anal. I've had my Christmas shopping done, thrown down on a table in the basement since back in September, October. Hell, they were having Christmas in July. Back in July, I had my Christmas shopping finished, just not wrapped, tossed downstairs. And it's hard to go to the basement. Because I won't need to be wrapping my dad's gift. Anyway, one thing I've really missed this year is the music. Missed a lot of things about the holiday season, but that's just the way it's going to be this year. And the kickoff for the new year, likely making plans put him to rest. Ah, and here we go, a weather warning. We were there to see him yesterday, but it started today, and the latest one just came up. Heavy mixed precipitation, additional 4 inches of snow. There's probably 2 on the ground. Half inch of ice glaze, winds gusting as high as 45 miles an hour. Dangerously cold wind chills expected, as low as 40 below. Whiteout conditions. Don't drive, don't go outside, slippery roads, whiteout, blowing snow, reducing visibility, watch your older people, watch your pets. So we're not even able to make it to Dad for a couple days. Which is hard. We've been there every day with him. But he wouldn't want us getting in an accident, getting hurt. And it's especially bad, that kind of weather, for my mom with her heart issues. So, anyway, probably got 20 minutes or so, 15 minutes left on the air, and then a little bit of overtime, although nobody can call in. If you do want to call in at all, you got to do it in the next 15 minutes, 424-243-9540. But I'm going to play some Christmas music in the time that I've got left on the show, and just I'll tell you goodbye when we're getting ready to go, but that was my show tonight, and I'm sorry if it was a bummer. I'm happy if you've been having a very merry and a really happy holiday season. I am truly cherish it. Because they aren't always going to be that way. At the beginning of my show, I talk about life on life's terms. And that's what this is. Life on life's terms. It's going to be, the holidays aren't going to be as I've known them ever before. They changed with COVID. They changed with my folks' move. And now they're going to change with my dad dying. And the 4 A's of recovery, awareness, when I got that phone call from him at the hospital, he did make it out of the hospital. They kicked him out of there and he went to hospice. But that's when I got the awareness that it wasn't going to be a rehab and a rally situation, that it truly was the beginning of the process of a transition of him away from us in the human plane, moving on to the spiritual plane. I had to accept that. So far, I've readily accepted it. And as I've said before, acceptance doesn't mean you have to like something. You can hate it with all your heart. But acceptance means you recognize reality. You can still believe in miracles. But 18 years and these circumstances and what's going on, the truth too is we all have a birth year and a death year, and the dash in between is our life here. So make the most of yours. Don't bother making empty resolutions the first. Just live your life and do what you need to do to be happy action. I will be taking the action. Have been taking the action of sharing this process with both of my parents, with the support, God bless them, of my husband. Would be very hard for me to, harder for me to be going through this without the grace of his support. I haven't given friends a lot of opportunity because I haven't been talking. Got a cousin that I've been talking to. Want to thank her. Otherwise, I've just been staying on the down low, trying to be strong, right? If I talk about it, I'll lose it. And who does that? Well, you know what? A human being does that. Said what I had to say to my dad. Had a tear running down my eye. I'd be kind of insulted if a loved one didn't at least have a tear. Do I want somebody totally breaking down? No, that brings me there. That's why I've just been on the down low and haven't been talking about it, but decided to come tonight. And what action needs to be taken after to help with everything that comes after. I'll be doing that action. That's why I'll probably take a couple weeks off and then be back. Probably middle of January. And then my last of my forays is adaptation. And I will learn to adapt without my dad. You know, no matter what kind of relationship you have with your parents, you only get one set, and there's no do-over. So I'll be adapting to my mom on her own and not having my dad. So those are the four A's in my Christmas this year, and accepting that Christmas isn't going to be a overall a happy occasion. The reason for the season, I will celebrate in prayer and in song in a minute, because I haven't. We're already, geez, it's a couple days this weekend. And it says that this is a place for warriors. And my dad has been a hell of a warrior. I'm going to play some happy Christmas music, but first, there's a song that our founder wrote a long time ago, and the front of it is crackly. Don't let that chase you off from hearing some of the other great holiday tunes I'm going to play. But this hit a chord with me when I heard it. Hell, back when I started, probably about 12 years ago, but I feel this. So I want to play Craig's song, All I Want for Christmas. I know he's felt that way. Not for the same reason. I know you've all felt this way before. Not for the same reason. But I know I'm not alone. So I'll be right back. This is All I Want for Christmas. Mm-hmm.
since I felt this cold. Man, I wish I was younger, back when dreams were easy to hold. And a photograph of family takes me back to a Christmas of before. And I know I don't wanna be all alone, 'cause I hear them calling me back home. I don't need a pony, no, I don't need a bike. I don't need Rudolph to brighten up at night. I don't need no presents or the mistletoe. No, I don't even really need snow. Oh, I want this year is to be back. Yesterday's gone, tomorrow will last. We'll be reminded in the future of the past. Waiting so long just to come home. No, I don't need no Christmas cards, and I don't need a tree. I don't need to leave Santa anymore to eat. I don't need a chimney or stocking stuff for. No, I don't care if he leaves us cold. No, oh, all I want for Christmas is to be back home. 'Cause yesterday's gone, tomorrow.
Was Craig, I'm going to leave it at that, our founder, with All I Want for Christmas. That's a heart grabber, right? I got time to play one more before I tell you goodnight, and then I'm going to play a little bit that you'll hear in the on-demand in my overtime, but this is one I want to leave you with, a favorite by Matthew West for you all to hear before I tell you. You listening, good night.
I'm gonna make a wish this Christmas. I'm gonna say a little prayer. I'm gonna stop here for a moment before the moment disappears. World's in a hurry this December. The city streets and shopping malls. I wish we could slow down and remember the meaning of it all. Wherever you are, no matter how far, come back to the heart of Christmas. Live while you can. Cherish the moment and the ones that you love. Make sure they know it. And don't miss it. The heart of Christmas. gonna say a little prayer. Wherever you are, no matter how far, come back to the heart of Christmas. Live while you can and cherish the moments and the ones that you love.
That was Matthew West with The Heart of Christmas. I have 90 seconds live, so I am going to go on and play a couple more Christmas songs for me, I guess. You can't call in after 60 seconds. 424-243-9540 if you want. 424-243-9540. Otherwise, you're going to be hearing these other holiday songs in the on-demand. And I just want to thank you for your loyal listenership. Let those you know that you love them. I love you, Dad. Good journey. I love you, Mom. I'll be here. And I love all you guys because you've kept me going. Craig started that by giving me the invitation, and this has given me purpose every Wednesday. So I wish you a very Merry Christmas or Happy Holidays, whatever applies, and a Happy Safe New Year. I'll be off a couple weeks, and then I'll be back. And here's another tune for you, and I'll be right back.
My world is changing. I'm real.
That was Hillsong, and see, we had Craig and Piano Guys, Where Are You Christmas? Anyway, I'm going to close out tonight with My Wishes and Kenny G's, That You Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas. This is Kim signing off. Good night. God bless everyone. And, yeah, do this. We'll see you in a couple weeks. Good night.